This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, this is what we're going to do for the next, 10 minutes or so. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we have an actual doctor coming on the show. We're going to ask him about DeAndre Hopkins' knee. Is this something that we need to be worried about? Is this something that we need to monitor? It's one thing for me to tell you. I have a communications degree. I am not a doctor in any capacity. All right, so this is what we're going to do. We have compiled different national opinion makers' thoughts about the DeAndre Hopkins trade. You know what I think about the trade. I like the trade. I gave the trade a B+. I think it fits and checks a lot of boxes for Kansas City. You were getting somebody who is going to run crisp routes, somebody with good hands, somebody who's reliable. I like the move. I want to play for you guys what some other people think about the move, and maybe they like it, maybe they don't like it. Let's start with Stephen A. Smith on First Take.
I think that when you look at the greatness of Patrick Mahomes and what he brings to the table, combined with the fact that what he's been working with, obviously Rice is out. We all know that Pacheco has been out. You have even from last year when they were dropping passes, this year you just got guys that ain't getting open with the level of regularity we're accustomed to seeing. DeAndre Hopkins, some would argue his best days may be behind him, but he's still a big-time receiver. Make no mistake about it, he's still somebody that you can rely upon. And if you have a reliable weapon to help you move the chains and your quarterback is Patrick Mahomes as opposed to Will Levis or somebody like that, guess what? Or Mason Rudolph, you're in a pretty damn good situation if you're DeAndre Hopkins. So I look at it from that standpoint, and I say you look at his talent along with what Patrick Mahomes brings to the table, along with the Chiefs having an elite defense with Andy Reid calling plays on offense, with Spagnuolo handling the defense. I think this definitely puts them over the hump. I would have said the Baltimore Ravens before this move, but in light of DeAndre Hopkins arriving, I definitely think you can look at Kansas City in this regard as a favorite.
All right, Stephen A. Smith on board with the DeAndre Hopkins trade. I don't know why everybody is so high on the Ravens. You know what it is? There is nothing that sways NFL opinion more than playing well on a nationally televised game. If the Ravens had beat Tampa Bay on a regular noon game, no one would be talking this week like this about the Ravens. But the Ravens won on Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football is on ESPN. So now everybody's super high on the Ravens, and the Ravens are good. How are the Ravens the favorite? The Ravens lost to the Raiders a month ago. They lost to the Raiders. They lost to the Chiefs. Now they're better than the Chiefs. Now they're the favorite. Doesn't make any sense to me. That's what Stephen A. Smith had to say. Here's Mad Dog Christopher Russo. Here's his thoughts. He, not a huge fan of the move.
Take it easy and welcome back, Molly.
Thank you.
Take it easy. He's not Otis Taylor, Steve. Look at him.
Oh.
I mean, my goodness. Listen, I like Hopkins, but he's been on four teams in the last, two, three years, Jeff? He's on Houston, he went to Arizona, and then he went to Tennessee. Mm. He's an excellent receiver, and I think it does make him a little better. But to sit there now and say unequivocally they're going to now defend their Super Bowl, that's a little strong. Ravens have played really well. Ravens could have won that first game of the year easy. And the Chiefs scored 27 points that day, so it wasn't a case of their offense. Scored plenty. He's a very good player. I actually think it's a move to counteract what Buffalo did with Amari Cooper. I think they did that. You know, they got to deal with Cooper. They play him in a regular season. You know, they get Cooper. We're going to put a check on a check. We'll go out there and we'll get Hopkins. He's good. He can't hurt. But I am not going to sit there and say all of a sudden now we'll see them. They were going to probably go to New Orleans anyway. So the idea that they're the Super Bowl favorite by far because of Hopkins, I don't buy.
That was Christopher Mad Dog Russo. That was his thoughts on the DeAndre Hopkins trade. I don't know if I would call their move a response to what Buffalo did. I don't think the Chiefs really move by the beat of any of these other teams. You shouldn't when you're the leader. When you're in the lead like Kansas City is, and certainly when I mean, the last time you played Buffalo, you beat them. The last time you played Baltimore, you beat them. So I don't know if you are now making moves to counteract their moves. I think the Chiefs got DeAndre Hopkins because they need another wide receiver. They need another wide receiver. So Buffalo could have not gotten Amari Cooper. He could still be available. I think the Chiefs have been preparing to trade for DeAndre Hopkins for the last week or so. I know that their story is this thing just happened overnight, but you were telling me last Friday DeAndre Hopkins posted a video with him and his family in the car and they were playing Taylor Swift music? Okay. All right. I think this has been in the works. I think these deals don't just magically come out of thin air, especially when you were talking about conditional picks and what you want and how much money you're going to buy. I don't just think that magically at 2 a.m. Brett Veach was still awake and he just texted the Titans general manager and they just put a deal together in 3 hours. I think they've been working on this for a while. I think D-Hop sort of known, hey, you are probably going to Kansas City. We are working out some of the particulars, but when you have a veteran player like that, you want to keep him in the loop about what his future is and allow him and his family to prepare, where you got to move in the middle of the school year. You got to do a lot of things. You got to figure out where you're going to live, and we're going to give you that respect as a veteran, a guy who's potentially heading to Canton, Ohio, was one of the best receivers to play this game. So you heard what they said on First Take. Let's hear what Colin Cowherd had to say.
Don't expect 100 catches. Don't expect breakaway speed. But this is what the Kansas City Chiefs do. They find a piece, and if it works or doesn't work, it's there quickly. Juju Smith-Schuster worked, moved him, brought him back. Kadarius Toney kind of worked, kind of didn't, moved him quickly. It's cost-effective. If the Chiefs are doing it, it's going to be cost-effective. It's going to be smart. They're not going to stay with these players forever. Mahomes, Reed, Kelsey, Chris Jones, those guys, and maybe one of their corners, that's the foundation. The you know what, the Kansas City now is like that show American Pickers, where they kind of go around and they go shopping in some odd places for antiques, you know, stuff past its prime. And it's like, oh, let's drive over to Tennessee here and get D-Hop and a vintage oil can. I mean, that's kind of what they do now. And it's not a foundational piece. It's not going to make you rich. You go to these antique stores, you're not going to get rich. All the smart pickers already been there. But it is something. And what Kansas City can do now, because they have the foundation that is so strong, they can do this.
I think that's a really good analogy by Colin Cowherd. As somebody who makes my own group of analogies, I got to give Cowherd that one. I think that's what the Chiefs are. The Chiefs are the person that can find a really good deal at the garage sale. They've done this before. Juju was there for anybody to go get. Mecole Hardman, you could have got him for a bag of balls last year. Kareem Hunt was just sitting at home a month ago. Yeah, I think that's a really good comparison. That's what they did here. They didn't swing big. I understand that they got a player that you know, but this is not a big-time move. You don't make a big-time move for the 155th pick in the middle of the season. That's not how this works. They got a player that you know, a player that can be productive, a player that I think fits a lot of things, but the Chiefs are just, they're always going to find value, and I think they found really solid value with DeAndre Hopkins. Last cut I want to play for you guys. This is Rob Parker. He is on Fox Sports Radio. Here is his reaction to the D-Hop trade.
I didn't even know DeAndre Hopkins was still in the league. He only, what is he, 40? He's not even a starter anymore. He gets like 40% of the snaps. Really? That's who you go get. Stop shopping at Goodwill. Go to Saks Fifth Avenue. That's where the Jets went. That's where the Buffalo Bills went. And guess what, Kelvin?
What's
guess
that?
Who's available?
Who?
Cooper Kupp is available. How about Cooper Kupp in Kansas City? They had Patrick Mahomes sign a bogus deal telling them, hey, take less money. We'll keep the band together. You have a chance to win and win and win. And all they do now is they bring back rejects and return items. That's what they do. Hey, Kareem Hunt, we didn't want you. We sent you packing. Come on back. Juju, hey, instead of getting a pack of Juju bees at the movie theater, we'll get a receiver who we didn't want. That's what the Kansas City Chiefs do, and it's a disrespect to a talent like Patrick Mahomes. He shouldn't have to play around with leftovers. Go and buy him good groceries.
That's Rob Parker. That's his take on the DeAndre Hopkins trade. Cooper Kupp is Saks Fifth Avenue? I like Amari Cooper. He's Saks Fifth Avenue? That's
Davante Adams?
That's shopping at Rodeo? Now, Davante Adams is a premium piece. Don't get me wrong. Now, the Chiefs were never getting Davante Adams in a trade. I like Amari Cooper. You know, I wanted Amari Cooper over it. He's Saks Fifth Avenue? I mean, he's a good player. I mean, he ain't Gucci. I mean, he ain't Louis. He's not one of them kind of brands. Maybe like Ralph Lauren. I mean, he's a good, you know, you can wear a Ralph Lauren shirt. It's a nice shirt. There's better brands out there. Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp, who hasn't played in the last month and a half. He's Saks Fifth Avenue. Okay. All right. My bad. I didn't know. I mean, I like Cooper Kupp, but we putting a lot of sauce on Cooper Kupp, who has had one 1,000-yard season since COVID hit. Just want to point that out for Cooper Kupp. And Cooper Kupp's a very good player. Don't get me wrong. Somebody is going to be happy that they traded for Cooper Kupp here in the next 10 days or so. I'm happy it's not the Kansas City Chiefs. You guys know how I feel about Cooper Kupp. If your last year was pre-vaccine, don't talk to me about it, bro. I don't want to hear about it. It doesn't matter anymore. I don't want to hear it. Coming up in about 20 minutes or so, we are going to be joined by a doctor. We're going to get his thoughts on DeAndre Hopkins' knee and if this is something that we need to be worried about between now and the end of the season. So I'm certainly excited to get a little bit on or better understanding and information about that. All right, coming up on the other side, Rob, in the midst of all of this excitement about DeAndre Hopkins, we forgot about the Chiefs. They lost one of their most important defensive players this past week. We haven't spent a lot of time talking about it. Let's do that next. Keep right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I would say that the Chiefs' need for wide receiver has sort of engulfed two pretty big topics with the Kansas City Chiefs. The first one is how Patrick Mahomes has played. Now, I know that I would say it is becoming a majority of you simply do not care how the Chiefs play in the regular season. Wake me up in late December and January. Nothing they do in October matters. But if you are currently looking at the NFL, Patrick Mahomes is 16th in the NFL in yards thrown this season. He is 16th. If you look at touchdown passes this season in the National Football League, Patrick Mahomes is 21st in the league. He has thrown as many touchdown passes as Daniel Jones and fewer than Jalen Hurts. Rob, you know that I'm really big on yards per attempt. He is 14th in the NFL this year at yards per attempt. If you look at quarterback rating, Patrick Mahomes, you got to scroll down. He is 23rd in the NFL at quarterback rating. But if you go to interceptions, he has thrown the most interceptions in the NFL, tied with Jordan Love and tied with Gardner Minshew. Now, I am not here telling you that you should be worried about Patrick Mahomes. The analogy I would make is we all know that Steph Curry is really good at shooting a basketball, right? You don't have to be an NBA fan to know that. If Steph Curry was shooting 15% in the first half of the NBA season, you know what I would say? He'll figure it out. So I don't have any question that Patrick Mahomes will figure it out. But we also got to be real here. Patrick Mahomes has not played well this season. He has not played like a top five quarterback in the National Football League so far this season, even though we all believe and know that he is the best. So I would say that the conversation around wide receiver and then them subsequently picking up another wide receiver in DeAndre Hopkins, that has taken some of the attention away from the way that their quarterback has played. Now, he has played big in big spots. They had two very impressive drives at the end of the game against San Francisco, and he was at the center of them. So, again, I don't want you guys to misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm not saying you need to be overly worried about Patrick Mahomes. I'm just simply here telling you what you already know. He's thrown an interception in every game that they have played so far this season. That is not sustainable. He is going to have to play better if they're going to win the Super Bowl, but he usually does when we get to postseason time. The other thing that I would say the last couple of days have stopped us from talking about, Rob, is what's their plan now with no Jalen Watson? Now, maybe you guys are thinking, oh, you're just being cornered out. They're going to figure it out. Maybe that's true. Trent McDuffie has been incredible. Trent McDuffie is once again playing like a first-team all-pro caliber corner. I think he is going to be first-team all-pro again. I can't think of a corner that is more deserving of that honor than he is. Who's the guy on the other side? Is it going to be Nazi Johnson on the other side? Is it going to be Joshua Williams on the other side? How are they going to address a pretty big opening right now in that secondary? Jalen Watson has played really, really well so far this season. Like, if you go on Pro Football Focus and you look at the way that he has played so far this season, he is ranked 23rd among corners in the National Football League. He's been really, really solid. And now you have taken someone who has been very good out of the lineup, and now it is a next man up. This team has been hit with a lot of injuries. A majority of those injuries have been on the offensive side of the ball, running back, wide receiver, etc. This is the first big injury that they've really had on defense, aside from Aminahou, who just hasn't played this year, that they're going to have to figure out in real time, and they're going to really test their depth to figure out if they can do it.
I mean, it's obviously a test. I don't want to diminish what it is, because there was a question we talked about a lot on the show coming into the season. Who is cornerback number two? Jalen Watson has taken the job and was sensational in the job. And now it stinks. It's a matter of the fact he's likely done for the rest of the season. But you know what? I feel like me and you have had this corner conversation so many times. And every time, a guy that you don't think of, a guy that you didn't even know was on the roster, a late round pick, an unheralded guy comes up and lo and behold, plays good. I don't know if that's the defensive backs coach Merritt. I don't know if that's Steve Spagnuolo.
It's I don't know if everybody. Yes, yeah. Both.
I don't know if Brett Veach is some savant. I don't know what it is. The answer is probably yes. But I feel like every time the Chiefs are met with any level of difficulty at corner, they're fine. They end up being just fine. They probably should have added a veteran corner ahead of the 2023 season. Didn't matter. They won the Super Bowl. Trent McDuffie was all pro. Legarius Knee was great. At that time, Watson and Williams held down that third corner spot. They were good. No issue. No concern. Last year, there was some concern. Okay, well, now what? No concern. Just kept chugging along. Offseason, hey, they're going to lose Legarius Knee. What now? They'll keep chugging along, and it seems to always happen with guys who play at small schools like Joshua Williams, late round picks like Jalen Watson, or guys you've never heard of like Wallace, who, maybe this is bad by me, didn't know he was on the roster for a pick on Sunday.
Before.
So much like
it also makes sense why you haven't heard of him. He's played in 16 snaps so far
exactly,
this season.
Yeah.
He got an interception in one of those
exactly.
Snaps.
They are going to make it work at corner. So it stinks for Jalen Watson, but to wonder what the plan is, it's a waste of time because the plan is going to work whatever it is.
I hear what you're saying. Can I give you a couple of numbers and we can move on from this? Let me give you a couple of numbers. Did you know that Trent McDuffie has played every snap they've had on defense so far this season? Did you know that? Every single snap Trent McDuffie has been on the field. All right. So this is their top five this year in terms of snaps on defense. Number one is Trent McDuffie. Number two is Brian Cook. Number three is Justin Reed. Four is Nick Bolton. And guess who number five is? It's Jalen Watson. Jalen Watson has played in 91% of their defensive snaps. Now, I know you didn't look this up, so I'm not trying to trick you here. What would you guess the percentage between Jalen Watson and their third corner is? Because we talk a lot about that third and fourth corner. The truth of the matter is, those guys don't really get on the field a whole lot if Trent McDuffie is never coming off the field. So McDuffie is at 90%. Jalen Watson is at 91%. McDuffie's at 100. Jalen Watson is at 91%. What do you think their third corner is on the field?
Well, you wouldn't be asking me this question, which is a big number. So I'm going to say it's something nice and small. 28%.
Exactly 28%.
Boom!
Najee Johnson has been on the field for 28% of their snaps. Joshua Williams has now been on the field for 13% of their snaps. You are asking Najee Johnson to take a big jump up in usage from what Jalen Watson is. Jalen Watson really didn't get off the field. Now you're asking one of those guys, or you're now going to have to change the role of one of these other guys with Brian Cook, Justin Reed, the kid that you just mentioned who had the interception. Like, somebody's role is about to drastically change on defense. They haven't had many role changes if you were talking about it on off or on defense. They've had all of them on offense because of the injuries. This is the first time that they're going to have to reshuffle some things, and you're going to figure out how to replace one of your key players. I guess you could say that with Bolton. He was a little bit banged up, but Bolton's also played a lot on the field this year, and Bolton has been really good since the Ravens game. I know he didn't play that well against Isaiah Likely. Over the last 5-6 weeks or so, Nick Bolton has been really, really good for this team. So it'll be interesting to see how they replace Jalen Watson and his production and what he's done so far this season. Coming up in just a bit, we're going to be joined by Jesse Morse. He is a doctor. We're going to get his thoughts on DeAndre Hopkins, who met with the media earlier today. D-Hop is currently playing with the knee injury. Want to find out if this is something that we need to monitor over the course of the next couple of months or so, as he is trying to help the Chiefs get back to the Super Bowl. DeAndre Hopkins met with the media earlier today. Here's what he said.
Very important. I think I've done a lot, all the accolades that I can accomplish as far as personal. So I think, you know, just playing meaningful football in January is, you know, what's left on the list.
DeAndre Hopkins, for the most part, has accomplished almost every single thing that you can accomplish on a personal level. Now, he's never won, like, Offensive Player of the Year or anything, but I mean, he's been a first-team All-Pro. He's been a second-team All-Pro. He's been a 5 Pro Bowls. He's led the NFL in touchdowns back in 2017, was on the All-Rookie team. He has a very, very strong case for going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He doesn't have many postseason moments or memories, and now you got an opportunity to get those things in Kansas City. You really do. You didn't have that opportunity before with the various teams and quarterbacks and coaches and offensive coordinators that you have played with. You now have that opportunity in Kansas City. So if you want to talk about somebody who's going to come in focused, somebody who's going to come in prepared and understands the task ahead of them, I think it's going to be DeAndre Hopkins. One more cut I want to play for you guys before we're joined by Dr. Jesse Morse. Here is Patrick Mahomes. Here he is talking about how long it takes to get a wide receiver acclimated to the offense.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just getting with the coaches. I think our coaches do a great job of getting guys up to speed, and you've seen that throughout this year already. Bringing in guys, getting them up to speed fast, and then letting them go out there and make impact and do what they're great at. And so that's stuff that I think the coaches really do well. And then at me as a quarterback, I just try to be on the same page with the guys that are in there whenever I'm taking a snap.
That is Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Dr. Jesse Morse. He is with the InjuryExperts.com. Happy to get his thoughts on some of the injuries right now that are plaguing the Kansas City Chiefs. Dr. Morse, we appreciate you hopping on today, man. Thanks a bunch.
My pleasure. How are you?
Doing great. Let's start with this. Can you explain the injury that DeAndre Hopkins has? Because when you hear knee tear, you usually would kind of associate that with missing time. But he has played every game so far this season. Can you explain to us what injury he's dealing with?
So he suffered an MCL sprain or partial tear in early preseason. Hopkins is one of the rare kind of guys that just hates missing time. I've tracked his injuries throughout his career, and he's just one of those guys that he will play through whatever injury you ask him to if he physically can, and then he'll have the surgery after the season. That's just, he's done that multiple years. He went, tons of games without missing, tons of seasons without missing really any games, despite probably justifiably missing time. He had a wrap on it, what they call KT tape on his left knee back in basically August 1st. And then later that afternoon ended up basically fully tearing it. So that tells me he already had an injury to it and he was trying to play through it. And unfortunately, that usually involves a little bit of a meniscal tear as well. The MCL is the ligament that runs north to south on the inside of the knee, most commonly injured because, you know, usually we get tackled on the outside and that's what it takes the most stress. This usually takes about 4 to 6 weeks. He returned it about 4-ish weeks and just probably played through it. The underlying data for the past 6-7 weeks has been pretty good. It's just been poor QB play.
Right now we're talking to Dr. Jesse Morris. He's with theinjuryexperts.com. Just happy to get his thoughts on what's happening with DeAndre Hopkins. What does all this mean? Because he passed his physical. He's obviously been playing, so he is certainly healthy enough. What does this mean, you think, as he continues to play with it? Injuries like this, I'm just guessing, that they don't get better as you continue to play tackle football. There's always a risk associated with it. This team is expecting to play into late December, into January, into February. Is this something that we're going to have to track with this knee moving forward?
He shouldn't. He's had plenty of time for it to kind of heal in. And you know, there's obviously always a risk of re-injury, but it's on the relatively low side. If they said this was week two or three or four, I'd say, you know, he's still at increased risk. But at this point, you know, week eight, he's out of that window, in my opinion. And now he's fine. He's just got to learn the route tree. He's got to show Mahomes where he likes to have the ball, and I can't remember the last time Mahomes has had a proper X receiver that's a chain mover, that's a big dominant receiver, and it's going to be nice to see, because they've had a rough season. They've lost Rice and Pacheco and Hollywood, and it's unfortunate just on offense.
So Andy Reid a couple of days ago said that Hollywood is ahead of schedule. What does that mean? And very similar question to D-Hop. What kind of injury is he dealing with?
Yeah, so he had a pretty rare injury. If you remember the injury, if you're a Chiefs fan, you remember the injury that Tyreek Hill had about 3-4 years ago, maybe 4 or 5 at this point, when he landed and he had a dislocated, basically where the collarbone meets the sternum. So kind of in your chest more so than in your shoulder. What happens is the bone popped forward, and it tore the ligaments so much so that it wouldn't stay back in. So they end up having to surgically repair it for Hollywood. Whereas Tyreek didn't need that, because his was able to heal on its own, and he came back in about 3-4 weeks, and he did fine the rest of the season. The problem with Hollywood is it was so close to the heart and the blood vessels for the heart, and it just wouldn't stay in. He couldn't perform function, you know, appropriately. They gave it enough time for it to settle in, and it just wasn't settling in, so they made the decision to have surgery. The fact he's ahead of schedule is good. And you know, realistically, could he come back later in the season? I think it's technically possible. I wouldn't be surprised if they did that, just to get him a little bit of snaps and less important games per se, and then just kind of get him reacclimated. The good thing is the rest of the body is fine. You know, he's just got to be able to catch and to be able to take a hit again. So, and I think that's very realistic. He had it so early in the season that, you know, he could come back and look like he never left, per se.
What's the best case scenario with Hollywood's injury? And I'm guessing that the worst case scenario is that he just doesn't play this season.
Yeah, I you know, knowing, you know, what our expectations for Chiefs in general are, you know, to make it deep into the playoffs, at least regardless of how good or bad Mahomes is playing right now, I think that's the defense is so good that that's probably a realistic expectation. So he has plenty of time to come back. There's no reason for him not to come back, in my opinion. This isn't a crazy enough or bad enough injury with the time he's already had elapsed that he should not be back. So I think December, January at the latest for Hollywood.
I am curious, for an injury like this, and certainly with, you know, you got to get used to conditioning and all those other things. You mentioned the body being good. Is there sort of a ramp up period? Is there sort of a target date that you think Hollywood needs to come back? I've just kind of set that Christmas Day game. It gives you, you know, 2-3 weeks of regular season leading into the postseason. Just, it's very difficult to not play football for almost a year, basically, from the last time he played a real game. And now you get dumped into the second round of the playoffs. Really difficult to expect that player to be at his best. Is there a target date that you're kind of looking at with him?
I think that's realistic. I think week 16, week 17, somewhere, you know, without looking at the dates, I think that's realistic, in my opinion, whether or not they do play wild card or first round or bye, you know, you don't really want to put them out there, you know, the second round of the playoffs and important snaps in his first game back. He's just going to have some rust. So if you have the luxury to bring him back week 15, 16, you know, 17, somewhere around there, where you can get him a little bit of snaps without having to be like, oh, every play you make is important, per se.
Right now we're talking to Dr. Jesse Morse here. He's with theinjuryexperts.com, just getting his thoughts on some of the Chiefs' injuries that they're dealing with. Now, Dr. Morse, I need you to correct me if I'm wrong here, but Sky Moore has been a full participant for every practice that the Chiefs have had. He practiced yesterday. Now today they announced that he's having surgery. This just feels kind of suspicious, especially because the Chiefs made a move at his position.
Yeah, I think this is them saying, hey, we need to make this work, and you're the fall guy. If he does indeed have, I mean, you can practice with a core injury. These are very frustrating injuries. Traditionally, these are tears of the fascia where the groin meets the abdomen. And very, very painful with twisting, which is obviously everything these guys do for that position. And as a result, they really struggle. Many guys have had this injury and surgery, and they do well, but they're back. It takes about closer to 6 weeks than it does to 4 weeks. And maybe this is just how they coordinated it to say, hey, you know, maybe you can go back and help us in playoffs. So this is kind of when we're doing it. You know, I don't know how they justified it per se, but it's interesting to see that he went from full, you know, quote unquote normal to, hey, we're on IR.
That is Dr. Jesse Morse joining us on the show today. Be sure to give him a follow on Twitter. He is also with theinjuryexperts.com. Thanks, Doctor. We appreciate the insight and information. We appreciate you.
My pleasure. Have a nice day.
Absolutely. You too. That is Dr. Jesse Morse joining us on the show today. I'm happy that somebody with a medical degree confirmed how I was feeling about Sky Moore. It just, I don't know, man. It's just real suspicious. He has never been on the injury report this season at any point. He was not on the injury report. He practiced in full yesterday. Today, he's now going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. He's having surgery. Like, wait, hold on. Usually, it kind of ramps up. Usually, it's, oh, he missed some time. Wait, now we're going to do something. We didn't hear anything about this injury. It all felt too convenient to me. It all felt very, very suspicious when it came to Sky Moore. But based on what he said with DeAndre Hopkins, I think you got to feel good about that. As a Chiefs fan, you should feel really good about what you just heard regarding DeAndre Hopkins and about what you just heard regarding Hollywood Brown. I am on the side that Hollywood Brown is going to play at some point in December. It just, if you're telling me that it's just his shoulder, he had this surgery in late August, early September, you give yourself 3 months of recovery time, could you come back and be on a limited pitch count leading up to the postseason? That feels a little bit realistic for this injury based on everything that you've heard. So I don't know how effective you can say that he's going to be or guarantee that he's going to be, but I would be a little bit surprised if Hollywood Brown does not play for the Chiefs at any point this season. It certainly feels like it is trending that way. Coming up on the other side, you know what, Rob? Let's do our Sunday storylines. We'll also talk a little bit of Thursday night football, getting you ready for Rams and Vikings. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. A new week in the NFL starts tonight. The Drive gets you ready for the weekend ahead with Sunday storylines.
All right, let's get through some of the top storylines for the action on Sunday. Before we do that, Rob, let's talk a little bit about Thursday night football. This is how I'm looking at it. I think tonight is a showcase for Cooper Kupp. I think the reason Cooper Kupp is playing tonight for the Los Angeles Rams, it is to show that he is healthy. It is to show that he can still be productive. And I do not think that Cooper Kupp is going to play past this Thursday for the Rams. I think he plays today. I think they do usual Cooper Kupp things where they give him a bunch of targets. They hope that he is healthy and finishes the game. And I'm going to guess that sometime between tonight and next Wednesday, he is going to be playing for another team. Now, who could that team be? Tampa Bay could possibly go out there and make a move. Could the Saints go out and do something? There's going to be a team that needs wide receiver help, and the market has been set. We have now seen three wide receivers get traded in the last 2 weeks. We saw Davante Adams get traded. We saw Amari Cooper get traded. And we just saw DeAndre Hopkins get traded. So we have an idea of what your wide receiver is worth, and he is not worth a second round pick.
That's the million dollar question. I don't think you're wrong. I think this does feel like we're showcasing Cooper Kupp. Look, he's healthy. Look, he's productive. Look, he's everything. He's apparently a Gucci bag, according to Rob Parker. He's everything you want, but I'm not so sure they get him sold at the asking price as a second. Maybe if they come off their price, then by next Wednesday he's playing for another team. I don't know who that team will be, but he will be somewhere else in the NFL, Commanders, whoever. But if they're not coming off second-round pick, then I think Cooper Kupp is finishing the year in L.A. in a season that means absolutely nothing. They have to adjust their calculus on what they think he's worth.
All right, let's get to Sunday storylines.
Speaking of the Commanders, they came up perfectly.
No, hold on. Turn the music down. If we are going to talk about the Commanders on this show, please address them accordingly. You can't just say, oh, let's move on to the Commanders. No, that's not how we do it on this show.
Those haters can't stand us. Left hand up. Who are we? The Commanders.
All right, now you can go.
They are in. What I'm shocked is the game of the weekend.
We made it!
325 against the Chicago Bears, but...
Hey, I'm going to tell you the truth, man. Chiefs might get the little TV in my home. They might get the TV with no sound, bro.
Here's the question, though. Jaden Daniels' health, because he did not practice today.
Oh, hold on now. See, you haven't been keeping up. This is what they said. He wasn't going to practice on Wednesday and Thursday. He's going to practice on Friday, and they're expecting him to play. You think we, in the NFL, we did all this moving and shaking around to put the Commanders at 425, and now you're not going to put Jaden Daniels out there? You better put on a bulletproof vest or some kind of Kevlar. I don't know what they put on to protect their ribs if they're football players. You better do that. We got tickets to sell. We did all this moving around. We took the Eagles off the 325 game on Fox to make room for you.
Haters can't stand us. Left hand up. Who are we? The Commanders.
Yeah, come on, JD. Come on, bro. You cost me last week on the anytime touchdown. You know you were supposed to score against Carolina. Then you went out. Now you're on the sideline standing around knowing you losing people money.
If he doesn't play on Sunday, is it a Bears walkover or can Mariota and co. still get a W?
I mean, the Bears walkover. I don't know if the Bears are walking over people. I think you're taking it a little bit to the extreme. But you know what, man? Chicago has been good this year. This is my question about the Bears. Now, I don't know if I'm speaking out of turn, but this is my question about the Bears. Have you seen the teams they've beat this year? These are the Bears' wins. The Titans, Rams, Panthers, and Jaguars. You know what that is? Stink, stank, stunk. Now you got to start playing some real teams. Now you got to go on the road and you got to play the Super Bowl favorite, the Washington Commanders. You know what? Give me Washington at home even if they don't have Jaden Daniels this weekend.
The haters can't stand us.
They can't. Left hand up. You know who we are.
Staying in the NFC, the battle for the NFC South is this weekend between the 4-3 Falcons and the 4-3 Bucks. Two teams that were once promising.
Who is Baker Mayfield going to throw the ball to? He going to throw the ball to himself?
Absolutely took the words out of my mouth.
Just want to know who he's throwing the ball. Who's their leading receiver right now?
Who can you expect, even at home, with the everything about that game? Can we really bet on the Bucks and Baker if they don't have...
You betting on them? Are you putting real American currency on them? I'm not. I'm not doing that. Not with... I don't know who they're throwing the ball to. I mean, this is a real danger zone spot for Tampa Bay. Their next 3 weeks, Atlanta on the road against Kansas City and San Francisco. This team is currently sitting at 4-3. They can easily be 4-6 heading into their bye week. That offense did not work after the Mike Evans injury. They got a couple of garbage time. Hey, we can keep this game close and make it a little bit more respectable. And now they don't have Chris Godwin. You're telling me this week that I'm going to see Baker Mayfield without Mike Evans and without Chris Godwin? Yikes. No, thank you. No, I'm taking Atlanta in this one. I feel comfortable about taking Atlanta. I don't know who they're throwing the ball to in Tampa Bay. Cade Otton? Rashad White? Who are they throwing it to? Bucky Irving?
You mentioned those garbage time touchdowns.
Trey Palmer going to eat this week.
All that garbage time cost Chris Godwin a season.
Yeah, no, it did.
That was coaching malpractice, but it was an error in judgment by Todd Bowles. That's the nice way to say it. Speaking of coaching, don't look now, but everyone's least favorite team, the Cincinnati Bengals, are slowly inching, clawing, fighting back.
The Cowboys at first. When you said everybody's favorite, I was like, oh, here comes the Cowboys.
No.
You know, they're on the road against San Francisco, Sunday Night Football. That's a loss for them. When's the last time they beat San Francisco? Troy Aikman was playing for them?
I think it was Staubach.
Okay. Irvin was playing for them? That was pre-White House days for the Cowboys the last time they beat San Francisco. It's been a while since they beat them.
We can get back to the Bengals. I'll ask my Cowboys question now. That's since fair. You brought up the Cowboys, who are both teams' season on the line on Sunday Night Football? The Niners are battling all the injuries. They're like the Bucks, but just out west, and the Cowboys are just a mess. Two teams that are 500 or sub 500 on prime time. Is it a season salvaging type of game for both teams?
I'm going to say that San Francisco can afford a loss a little bit more than Dallas can.
3-5. Ooh.
Just because of their division. And Seattle and Arizona are in that division. I mean, if you're the Cowboys and you lose this game, and let's say the Commanders win, you're three games back of the Commanders. I don't know if you're good enough to catch that team. Dallas is not a good football team. I understand they're America's team and we got to talk about them, but this is the team that has lost three of their last five games. And you want to talk about their schedule coming up. They go on the road against San Francisco, on the road against Atlanta, Philadelphia, Houston, and on the road against Washington. All of those teams are better than Dallas. I don't think Dallas is making the postseason. San Francisco still has a chance to save themselves. I'm not sure if the Cowboys are going to be able to do that.
All right, Carrington, last question. Now circling back to the Bengals, they are only a game under 500. They play at home against the Philadelphia Eagles. If they get a win, and that's an if because that is a toss-up game, is it time to start yet again talking about the Bengals being a playoff team, or with a loss, are they done in the land of misfit toys?
That's a great question.
Because their schedule is soft.
Yeah, I think Cincinnati's still in it. I'm going to say Cincinnati is still in it just because of the teams that you think are in that wild card conversation. Like, if you were telling me if the playoffs started today, the wild card teams are Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, and Denver, you ain't that far out of it. And the Chargers are in that conversation. The bottom half of the AFC is weak. The top half is strong. Kansas City, Houston, Baltimore, Buffalo. Maybe Pittsburgh is a decent team. You know, I'm not buying it with Pittsburgh, but maybe they're a decent team. Whoever that 6 or 7 seed is, they're weak, absolutely weak. And you are right about Cincinnati. Their schedule does lighten up just a little bit. That could give them a chance to go on a little bit of a run here. But, I mean, this is the game at home against the Eagles. You got at home against the Eagles, at home against the Raiders. You got to figure out a way to win. It's really that simple. You got to figure out a way to win. And you got to start taking care of business. This is a team that they haven't won a home game yet this year. That's kind of odd for them. They have lost all three of their home games. They lost to the Patriots, the Commanders, and the Ravens. They have won 3 out of their 4 road games. So at some point, you got to start winning home games if you want to get back into this conversation. Their next 2 weeks are at home. All right, I need full phone lines. 913-586-7965. This is my question to you. Let's say that you wake up and you get a notification on your phone that the Chiefs have traded a 4th-round pick for a player. Do you want that player to be a wide receiver or a cornerback? I'll answer that question. I want you guys to answer. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.